church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Elect from every nation, yet one are all the earth. Her chart here of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace endued. Though with a scornful wonder the world sees her oppressed, by chisels rent asunder, by heresies distressed, yet saints their watch are keeping, their cry goes up along, and soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song. Through trial and tribulation, in tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore, till with a vision glorious and longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest. Yet she on earth has union with God the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won. Oh, blessed heavenly chorus, Lord, save us by your grace, that we like saints before us may see you face to face.
The congregation is invited to stand. We follow the order of Divine Service 4, and it's printed in the bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in.
Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in.
Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
O Savior, precious Savior, whom yet unseen we love. O name of might and favor, all other names above.
We worship thee, we bless thee, to thee, O Christ, we sing.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God,
you did not spare your own Son,
but gave him up for us all. Grant that by faith we may trust in your promises and live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord,
who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading, which is chosen, we're following the order of service and readings for LWML Sunday, and we think of the service and the teachings of the gospel in the service of God's people in these readings. The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many people shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in the scripture, Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand and sing the Alleluia in verse.
Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks to you, O Christ.
We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The congregation may be seated. We don't have any smaller children here this morning, so we will continue with our sermon hymn. My hope is built on nothing less, 575, and a reminder, we bring forward the offering on that last verse.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
The sermon for today reflects mainly upon Matthew chapter 11, the gospel reading. I reread verse 25 to start. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When a new section starts in Scripture, in the Gospels, And then that day, the following days, words like that, then there's something being indicated there, some time element, some connection to what has gone before, or concluding what has gone before. And in the first words of verse 25, at that time, well, what had been happening at that time that he's referring to? Well, at that time, nothing seemed to be going right. If we look in the earlier verses of that chapter, John the Baptist, the baptizer, is in prison. And we know that Jesus called him the great prophet. He's of the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, but he's in prison. And also in these verses right before, at that time, John had sent his disciples to go and ask Jesus, "Are you the one to come, or should we look for another?" And it's debated what that question is about. Was John pointing them, "I'm in prison now, they should follow Jesus, so let them go see Jesus"? Some commentators say John was wavering. It's not sure, but we know his words, "Go and ask Jesus." And Jesus tells his disciples, "Go in back and tell John what you see. The poor are preached to, the sick are healed. See these miracles I'm doing, show him." And Jesus says, and all this is going on, and yet people are not believing. In fact, Jesus says, they are saying that John has a demon, and I, Jesus, am a drunkard. The Son of Man is a drunkard. Maybe referring back to him making wine for the wedding. So Jesus is saying, John's in prison, and people have not respected John. And then he goes on in the following verses, and he says, "Woes upon the towns of Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum." And he says, "Tyre and Sidon and Sodom would have repented if they would have seen the miracles and the teachings that you have seen. They would have repented." So he was doing his miracles, he was teaching, and yet whole towns were rejecting him and saying he's a drunkard or saying he's demonic and John was a demonic and all these things. So it seemed like nothing was going right. But at that time, then Jesus declares, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children." So we think about, okay, what is Jesus talking about here in his prayer that's recorded by Matthew? Well, the people who aren't getting the gospel are not understanding and believing in Jesus. He calls them the wise and the understanding, those in a worldly wisdom. But the ones that God is revealing Jesus to, and they have faith, are those like little children, the ones who know they need God and receive God. It's interesting, I was thinking about this passage, and it's interesting to me how the little children, and that word also can be translated infant. It's actually infant, little children. And how a baby just cries when the baby can't help himself, it just cries. And then as the baby grows a little bit, it gets to that age to it only wants mom or dad, sometimes only mom for a while. The baby comes to know who is taking care of it. And anybody else, especially sometimes with some babies, they hear another man's voice, not their father's voice, but they become scared. And as they are, even a toddler, sometimes they just cling on to mom, or mom has to set them aside and they cry. And that kind of human behavior, and that from child to child, it's a little bit different. But generally, that kind of human behavior, what are we as infants, as little children? We know we need God. We know we need Jesus, and we're in trouble if we don't have him. And if somebody else's voice comes, it's a little bit scary, and it should be, because that's not our Heavenly Father. If another spiritual power comes and is threatening our lives, we cling to our Father. For he is the one who gives us safety. And those thoughts came to my mind, especially some children, they're like that. They just cling to their parents, and they know that's who's taking care of them. And you can say, as I have in there, children are, in a mature adult sense, are those who are relying on God and not themselves. They know, we know as Christians, we're relying on God, we need him. If I look into myself, I'll see I'm weak. Sometimes I do things okay, but oftentimes not. And I know I need somebody to take care of me. I know I need somebody for wisdom or for power, or for healing, for comfort. I know I need God. I know I need my Heavenly Father. Those things are good to see in the text, what Jesus is saying, but also I see there the term that he has revealed these things to the little children. And then also in verse 27, whom the Son chooses to reveal him. This is the same word as it is the word apocalypse, not the movie Apocalypse Now, but the revelation, the apocalypse, the revelation given to John. John sees and has this gift of seeing heaven, of seeing the history of the church, of seeing the Lamb being coronated and taking up and being worthy to open the scrolls of the history of the church. And John is blessed to see all these visions. And John is blessed to see the final outcome of Jesus returning in glory and power, and a glimpse of life everlasting into eternity. That's the same word, this revelation given to John is the same word that is given here, that it's revealed. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, that you have revealed them to little children. And Jesus says that he will reveal his Father to whomever he chooses. It is a real understanding and confidence and something you cannot think of by yourself. The child, when it is first born, does not know who the mother is. The child becomes knowing of the mother. The child knows more and more. It's revealed to the child. The child then comes to know, this is my mother, this is my father, and don't give me another person, and don't take me away. This is the one I want to cling to. So our Heavenly Father reveals himself to us so that we know we can cling to him, that he is safety and comfort and feeding, and that he gives us wisdom and guidance and other powers. No, don't give me those. Keep me away from those. Keep me close to my Father in heaven. And this is who Jesus reveals to us, his Father in heaven. And I say it almost every sermon, sorry if I do, but Jesus said, pray like this, our Father who art in heaven. He's revealing who God is to us, our Heavenly Father. So this is his work. So Jesus says, it looks like it's going wrong. I pronounce these woes on these towns and villages. And yet, Heavenly Father, you're not hidden to the little children that need you, that you call. You reveal yourself to them. According to how the world sees things and measures things, Jesus should have had all kinds of support and accolades from these towns and villages, but so often they were rejecting him. But Jesus knew that God was doing his work, and he thanked God for that. In Peter's letter, he explains to the Christians to whom he writes that since they are God's chosen people, they're special, they're set aside. And he has a number of terms here that are well known, and I just repeat them and say something about them. He says they are a chosen race. Now, just think of that word, chosen. They didn't choose themselves. They have been chosen by God. And they didn't do it because of their good works. They didn't do it because of their way they were born. They didn't do it because of the type of people they are. But they were chosen. God chose them. And he brings them together. He also calls them a royal priesthood. Now this he is saying to, as Peter writes, men, women, and children, boys and girls. And he calls them all a priesthood. Sometimes we call it the priesthood of all believers. And the priests, he's referring to this priesthood of the Old Testament, which were just one tribe, but of the 12 tribes of Israel. But now, Peter says, it's all of you. And what the priests did in the Old Testament, there were three main things they did. They worshiped God and all the sacrifices and so forth. They taught the word of God and they prayed. They interceded. This is the main work of the priests, which comes forwards to us. We worship God, we teach his word, and we pray for people. We intercede. That is the work of the royal priesthood. Man or woman, boy or girl. If you, I think sometimes that when the children cry, before they're really talking much, they're growing up a little bit, but they don't talk very well so far, so much yet. There are prayers there. There are praises there that Christian child is giving, even the little ones. Do you remember when Jesus came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and the children were crying aloud and the Pharisees complained to Jesus, do you hear what they're saying? And Jesus quotes Psalm 8, says, yes, and out of the lips of children, even the word in the Hebrew is, out of the lips of infants you receive praise. And Jesus said, if these would not cry out, the stones themselves would cry out. If we'd stop the children from singing, the stones will start singing. So the faith, the joy, the praise comes from the whole priesthood of God's people, all ages and every positions. Peter calls them a holy nation. The word holy in the root of it means to be set apart, special. That's how we often say it. You're special. You're set apart for God's purposes. You're a nation of people set apart for God's purposes. And you are God's possession. You don't belong to the devil. You don't belong to the world. You belong to God. So frequently, it just comes to mind, and so your pastor has to say it. It comes to mind that when Adam and Eve sinned, I have said before, God did say to the devil, okay, but they are not your people. There will be enmity between the woman and you, between her seed and your seed. She's not for you, and I won't let her be for you. There's enmity and fighting between you. They don't belong to you, devil. They belong to me. And from her seed will come one who will crush your head. Yeah, you'll bite his heel, but he will crush your head. From the very beginning, God said, "You, these people are mine. Even as sinners, I call them to be mine." Right from the beginning, Genesis chapter 3, all the way now, you are God's possession. And Peter tells that to his readers. And so what do these people do? They declare, they proclaim his excellencies, how much God has done for them and their life and their salvation. It says, once you were in darkness, now you're in God's marvelous light. Think on this. As there is craziness and evil that we see around us every day, if a person is not Christian, it is clear in Scripture they're in darkness. There's chaos and confusion because there is chaos and confusion. It's darkness unless God calls us and gives us faith in Christ. So we see this going on around us, and it encroaches in our lives too. But that is what it is without God. With God, we have his light. So it doesn't mean that we're little children and that God gives us nothing to do, because little children don't have to do anything. They just have to sit and get everything. No, we're little children, but we're with mature tasks and adult tasks for God gives us to do. This is our believer's work, that we call out his name, that we teach others, that we pray for others, that we declare and proclaim his excellencies in front of others, that we declare that in Jesus Christ we have true light and true wisdom and true understanding of life into eternity. The world does not have that. The world does not know that. That's what God calls us to proclaim. As he has given to us, so also we proclaim to others. So little children, we're little in faith in that we cling to God, but he calls us to do many things. He calls us to serve one another and to praise him. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks that you have made us your believing children, and that you give us great faith. Faith to know that you are the light, and that in your Son, Jesus, we are forgiven, and that now you also call us to do many things to serve you and serve others. Help us to be confident in our salvation from you, and help us to be true and faithful in our service to you and to each other and in the world. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the holy name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, we take up these good words of the LWML pledge. We will stand for them, and then we remain standing for as we go into the prayers of Zion Lutheran Church. You're invited to stand. We speak these words of the LWML pledge. In fervent gratitude for the Savior's dying love and his blood-bought gift of redemption, we dedicate ourselves to him with all that we are and have. In obedience to his call for workers in the harvest fields, we pledge him our willing service wherever and whenever he has need of us. We consecrate to our Savior our hands to work for him, our feet to go on his errands, a voice to sing his praises, our lips to proclaim his redeeming love, our silver and our gold to extend his kingdom, our will to do his will, and every power of our life to the great task of bringing the lost and the erring into eternal fellowship with him. Amen. We say the prayers of Zion Lutheran Church printed in the bulletin. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the proclamation of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, that by the pure tongues of Christ's servants, the tongues of the wicked may be silenced, their evil ways cast aside and their sins washed away. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the kingdom of God, that with one mind and will we may serve the Lord with gladness, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, with thanksgiving to God for the decades of faithful service of Lutheran women to glorify God, extend his kingdom and serve all people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all people in their vocations, that delighting in the Lord's loving kindness, they may joyfully serve their neighbors, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our leaders and those who serve in our armed forces, that having been appointed by him who is above all human powers, they might serve honorably and well, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the comfort of God's love and the encouragement of his Christ, that all who suffer, we remember Margaret and Charlotte, Bernetta, Bill, Gary, Bryston, James, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Mary Ellen, Mary, Sue, and Steve, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Mark, Helen, Michael, Ray, Carlos, Phyllis, Lane, Pastor Scott Johnson, and for the family of Denny Meyer. We pray that they would find God a ready and worthy Savior in every affliction. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who confess the name of Jesus Christ as Lord, that receiving our humble Savior in the humble means of his supper, we may give him our worship and thanks. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful Lord, in you there is no shadow due to change. Enkindle your divine light in us, that we may stand united as Christ's own body, holding fast to the word of life, and shining brightly in the midst of this world's darkness. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is great to send and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us in all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth adored, heaven and earth with full acclaim, shout the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna to the Lord. Truly blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory,
forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
O Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, you take the sin of the world away. O Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, have mercy on us, Lord, we pray. O Jesus Christ, true Lamb, have mercy on us, Jesus Christ, and grant us peace, O Lord, we pray.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. Invited to remain standing or sit for our closing hymn, Serve the Lord with Gladness, which is on that half-page insert.
Us. Spirit, our aim, serve.